We're going to continue with that theme as we dive into Scripture today. We're going to be looking at the end of Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5 as we continue our series, Unexpected, the Good News You Didn't See Coming. So I want to invite you to find that Scripture and focus in on Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and then Mark chapter 5. Have you ever had someone make a statement that just messes with your mind? Maybe it's something they say that's a complete contradiction to what you know is true. Or maybe something just pops out of their mouth that's unexpected and it catches you completely off guard. Sometimes those kinds of things are a little humorous. Somebody says dogmatically and emphatically, "The Lions are going to win the Super Bowl this year." And you are like, "Hey, have you not learned your lesson over the last 50 years? Or maybe someone says something like this, "That substitute for ice cream made with avocados tastes just like the real thing." And you are like, "Actually, it does not. It's not even close." Sometimes things that mess with our mind are humorous. Sometimes they're painful. Someone says to us, "I just don't love you anymore." Or, "You're not good enough. You never have been, you never will be." Or we hear words like some folks heard over the last few months, "You are permanently furloughed from your job." Or maybe you have heard, "You're just not welcome here." Those kinds of statements, they hit us just like a ton of bricks. It's like a bomb going off in our mind and in our emotions. Those kinds of things have happened, certainly in our lives, but they also happen in Scripture. In fact, it's interesting, we're going to look at a place in Scripture today where Jesus makes a statement that absolutely messes with the minds of the disciples. You could say he drops a bomb on them. Now let's think about the context for a moment. In Mark chapter 4, we discover that Jesus is early in his ministry and things are going extremely well. Huge crowds are showing up to hear Jesus preach, to watch him minister to people and to see him heal folks. They've never seen anything like this before and they are absolutely enthralled with Jesus. At the beginning of Mark chapter 4, there's so many people coming to hear Jesus preach that as he's on the lake shore, he actually gets pushed out into the water, and we're told that he actually steps into a boat, pushes a bit back from shore, and there he can see the crowd, they can see him, and he can preach to them. Last week, we talked about those words of Jesus in the beginning of Mark chapter 4, where he describes for us the heart conditions of our lives and how that looks in our daily lives. It's been a busy day of ministry. Jesus teaches and preaches and ministers to people. And then as it gets right down to the end of the day, we come to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And here's where Jesus drops the bomb on the disciples. Mark 4, 35, it says, "As the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.'" Did you hear it? Jesus says, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." Now, some of you are thinking, "Wes, are you sure you read the right passage? Are you sure that's what's explosive? Because it doesn't seem too dogmatic or unusual to me." Well, let me tell you, when Jesus says the other side, that phrase is filled with intense meaning for his original hearers and readers. And he's not talking there just about a geographical location. The other side was a region called the Gerasenes, or the area of the Decapolis. It was filled with people who were considered to be absolute pagans. They were considered to be enemies of the real God, and it was also considered enemy territory because there in that area was stationed a legion of 6,000 Roman soldiers. So it was considered enemy territory, not only physically, but also spiritually. It was a region filled with people who didn't look like, live like, or believe like the Jewish people on what they would have considered the right side of the lake. In fact, Jewish rabbinic tradition says that they actually believed that the other side is where Satan lived. You were supposed to avoid that area at all cost. But here, at the end of a busy day of ministry, Jesus says to the disciples, "Let's go to the other side." Jesus, it seems like, he was saying, the good news I have, the good news I've been sharing on this side of the lake, is also good news for the other side of the lake. It's almost like Jesus said, I don't care if that's a place where we believe Satan dwells. I don't care if those people believe differently and live differently. They need grace. They need forgiveness. They need my good news. Now, I think Jesus' disciples probably reminded him several times that this was not a good idea. They are not supposed to be going there. You're supposed to avoid that area at all cost. And I suspect that when the storm hit as they are crossing the lake, and you can read it there at the end of Mark chapter 4, I suspect more than one of the disciples whispered in the ear of the others, I told you this wasn't a good idea. We need to get Jesus to turn around and go back to our side of the lake, because God is trying to tell us we are not supposed to go to the other side. But Jesus calms the storm. They continue, and they land on shore on the other side of the lake. Now, I think the disciples were probably frustrated even when they arrived, because instead of having a huge crowd meet them, Scripture says they were met by just one individual. And I'd like for you to look at the way it's described by Peter and Mark. Verse chapter 2 of Mark chapter 5 says, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived out among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with chains. Whenever he was put in chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped them, broke the chains from his wrists, smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Can you imagine being greeted by that man? John Ortberg describes it this way. He says, the reception committee for Jesus on the other side was a single deranged demoniac, tormented, tomb-dwelling, self-mutilating guy. He was so disruptive that he had even been thrown out of his own community. But he runs to meet Jesus. And if you read the passage of Scripture, you discover that Jesus miraculously delivers this man from demonic possession. And when we see him again in verses 14 and 15, we see that he's described as sitting by Jesus, fully clothed, perfectly sane. Jesus meets this man right where he is in the middle of all of the horrors of his life. And he delivers him, he heals him, he frees him. Interesting, when you look at the reaction of the rest of these people, it says initially, they're afraid. They're so afraid that they actually ask Jesus to go away. And could it have been that they knew Jesus was from the other side, and usually people from the other side didn't have a good motive on their side? They weren't quite sure about this power of Jesus and what he might do to them. And so they actually ask him to go away. And if you look down in verse 18, it says that as Jesus is getting in the boat to honor their wishes to go back to the other side, the man who had been demon-possessed begs to go with Jesus, but Jesus says to him, no, go home to your family. Tell them everything the Lord has done for you, how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that whole region, and he began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Now, the rest of that story is actually found a couple of chapters later in chapter 8. because Jesus goes back to the other side, the wrong side, in the minds of the Israelite nation. And instead of one wretched, deranged man meeting him on that day, huge crowds came to meet Jesus. Huge crowds because they had seen what Jesus had done to this one poor man, how his life had been transformed. And now they knew that Jesus actually cared about people on their side of the lake. And so huge crowds come to see Jesus. This is one of the most dramatic responses that you see in the entire New Testament to the ministry of Jesus. They knew he cared about people on their side, and they came in crowds to meet him. Jesus continues to help them know that he cares about them, just like he cares about all people on every side of the lake. Some of you might remember that in Mark chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 men and all of their families on the Israelite side of the lake. And then when he goes to the other side on this occasion in Mark chapter 8, he feeds 4,000 and all their families. And he's saying to them, you know what? The same miracles and the same good news that I did on that side of the lake, I offer to you on this side of the lake. And friends, that leads us to a really important truth that we need to grab onto today. And it's simply this: the good news of Jesus transcends all sides. It transcends all sides of the lake, all sides of the issue. I know that we as human beings, we tend to be side takers. We tend to divide everybody into us and them. Sometimes it happens because of religious reasons. But it also happens because of ethnicity and culture and language and political ideology. And friends, even in our world today, we're seeing people divided between us and them over things like a face mask. It almost seems in our world today that, like, if you can mention something, people can take sides and be divided on it. We can get into that us and them mentality. Now, there are some that would like us to believe that this is a new phenomenon. Oh, it's never been this way before. Friends, that's nonsense. Because a simple look at human history tells us that people have been in the us and them mode since the very beginning of human history. Left to our own selfish tendencies, we will always divide everyone into a us and them pattern. But Jesus shows up. And Jesus says this good news of forgiveness, this good news of grace, this good news of purpose and meaning for your life, this good news of hope, it is for absolutely everyone, no exceptions. It's good for people on every side of the lake. And the early followers of Jesus, they embraced that message. And they declared it boldly to a world that was every bit as divided as our world today. The Apostle Paul famously said to Christians living in the ancient city of Galatia, he said, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female in Christ. We're all one in Him. He's saying that those things that usually separate people, those things that usually create walls between people, those things are broken down in Christ. There's no exclusions to His grace. There's no exclusions to His love. Everyone needs the good news of Jesus. Everyone. People on your side of the lake and people on the other side. Could I ask you just to think about who is on your other side? Who's over there that you struggle with, that you avoid, that you disagree with so intensely that sometimes you can't even stand to be in the same room? You wouldn't want to be in the same room. Could I just ask you if the good news and grace of Jesus is whispering in your heart and in your mind, you need to go to the other side and share my love and share my hope and share my grace with those people. I've set this example for you of loving people, regardless of which side of the lake they live on. And Jesus would say to us, if you're going to really love and care for people on the other side, then you're going to have to view them the way I view them. Jesus said when he came from heaven to earth, he came because the Heavenly Father loved the world so much that his only Son came. The world, that means people on all sides of the lake. And you and I have to come to the place where we view folks like Jesus viewed them. They are loved by God, intensely loved by God, and they desperately need the good news of Jesus. Now, there's a continuing thought that we need to make sure we grab onto today, because it goes seamlessly with the fact that the good news of Jesus transcends all sides. We also need to grab onto another truth that becomes very apparent here. See, Jesus met this demoniac on his side of the lake, right where he was. But when he met Jesus, everything changed. Everything changed about his life. And Jesus goes back to the Israel side of the lake, and then he ministers to some people there. A huge crowd comes to him, we're told, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. And as he's getting out of the boat and the crowd is surrounding him and people are wanting to hear what he's going to say and see what he's going to do, a man comes up to him and says to Jesus that his daughter is dying and would he please come and touch his daughter and heal her. And Jesus goes. He follows the man. The crowd goes with him, and we're told that as he's walking along, a woman who has been ill for 12 years with constant bleeding knows that she needs Jesus. She needs his help. And so she makes her way through the crowd, and she gets to where Jesus is, and we're told that she has suffered so much that all the doctors around have tried to help her and they can't. And she has spent everything she has trying to find a medical cure. And Jesus, as he walks through the crowd, is touched by her. She touches the hem of his garment, and we're told that she's healed instantly. Jesus continues to make his way after some conversation to the home of the man whose daughter was dying, and he heals the daughter. I mean, it's amazing. Jesus ministers and heals a demoniac on one side of the lake, and then he comes back and he ministers and heals people on the Israel side of the lake. You see, these folks all needed Jesus, and Jesus met them right where they were, but he loved them too much to leave them the way they were. They were all desperate for Jesus. They were all desperate for help. The woman with the bleeding problem, the grief-stricken father and the dying daughter, they were all desperate for Jesus, just as desperate for Jesus as the demoniac. And even though their issues may not have been quite as outrageous as a guy living amongst the tombs, they needed Jesus every bit as much as he did. And Jesus offered his love and offered his help and offered his healing, offered his power to them without reservation. And they found in Jesus healing and restoration in every area of their life. So would you hear with me that the good news of Jesus restores on all levels? It meets us where we are, and it restores us in our lives. It brings healing. It brings freedom. It breaks addiction. It offers forgiveness and help. The good news of Jesus meets us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us in the middle of our mess or our problem or our confusion. He meets us there, and he walks with us into a transformed life. The good news of Jesus always transforms us. And friends, this passage of Scripture and these events from the life of Jesus illustrate for us that people on every side of the lake need Jesus. They need Jesus. We need Jesus. In fact, we might as well just quit saying them and we. All of us need Jesus. Our issues might look different, but we still find ourselves desperate for help and for healing. We find ourselves sometimes captive to things that need to be broken in our lives. And perhaps today, as we think about this good news being for all people, for folks on all sides of the lake, as we think about this good news being news that restores on all levels of our life, maybe we need to ask ourselves the question, where do I need restoration? Where do I need healing? Where do I need freedom in my life? The example that we have in these events of the life of Jesus are people who just were so desperate for Him that the demoniac comes running when Jesus lands on shore. The grieving father makes his way from his home through a crowd to find Jesus. A woman who has a physical issue does everything she can to get to Jesus. And we find ourselves today in seasons of life where we just need to be willing to be desperate enough to do what it takes to find Jesus, to get close to Him. He will meet us where we are, and He will bring healing into our lives. I hope you'll make it personal today. I hope you'll think about the questions. I hope you'll think about how it applies to your heart and to your life, and you will let the Spirit of God work in your life in only ways that He can. I want to pray for us. God, we're so grateful for good news of the gospel of Jesus that is good in every space of life, every geographic location of this planet and this universe, every area of our heart. God, we pray that You would help us to be people who are opening up our hearts to You as and we're willing to be used of You to go to people who may not look like us or believe like us or people who we're even comfortable with, but they need You just like we need You. And so may we follow Your example and may we be people who are willing to go to the other side to help share the good news that transforms hearts and lives. God, maybe there's some folks right now who we would say, yep, they're on the other side. And You need to help us deal with the issues that keep us from being able to actually love them and care for them and help them. Jesus, for some of us, we look at our lives and we realize that while it's easier to point out the needs of others, that we desperately need You in our own lives. And we ask for Your healing. We ask for Your restoration. We know that You'll meet us right where we are, and we ask that You would help us be desperate enough for You, that we would open our hearts to You and allow You to transform us from where we are today into all that You designed us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've made a decision today of faith, we'd love to know about that. We'd love to walk with you in that. And we would love to just have you leave us a comment, send us a message. You are able to go to our website at gracepoint-mi.org, and there's a connection form, and you can give us your name and email address as well as a prayer request or tell us about a decision you've made. We'd love to celebrate with you and just walk with you in your journey.